Hi, my name is Lena Fersch and I have been in love with improvised theater for half my life. Lately, however, things haven't exactly been great. Improv and I were going through a rough patch and I need some outside help. I really want to get the spark back in the relationship. So I decided to talk to improvisers from around the globe to seek advice. How can I make up with improv? Let's find out. This week's guest is Ursula Anna Baumgartner from Vienna, Austria. Ursula is an improviser, a musical performer, and an actress. We first met in 2018 in Vienna to do a show together, and I really liked performing with her, but also, you know, just hanging out, getting to know her. Last year, we were supposed to do a big show together, a show called Radio Love by Jim Libby. It was supposed to happen at a music festival in Würzburg, Hafensommer, but Corona happened, and so our show did not. But I'm staying hopeful. One day things will change and we'll be able to perform together. Maybe by then I'll also have figured out how to, you know, make up with improv. And until then, it's just nice to talk to her. So stay tuned for my conversation with the lovely Ursula.
I definitely struggled with it before. You know, I have phases. So maybe it's just a phase, who knows? I think it's not a bad sign necessarily if you feel like, oh, I think I need to take a little break. You know, I think it's good. You can take some distance, think about it, reassess some things maybe, and rekindle an old flame maybe.
I'd really like to do that. I'd like to rekindle that flame. I think a lot of it has to do with making something that you love, a profession. It's just things that come with it that are hard. You have to deal with the hard stuff as well.
Yeah. I mean, you've done, especially you, I think you've done so much organizational work around improv. And that doesn't sound like fun. Like if it gets so technical, maybe, I don't know. I wonder if it, does that take some of the magic away?
I really love organizing. I'm a lot like my mother that way. And my sister, I guess we're all like that in our family. We just like having things neat and putting things into Excel sheets and that sort of thing. So I actually really always enjoyed the organizational part. I guess it's a matter of balance, really. Because if it's too much brain work, yeah, it just it affects how you play and perform.
Is it like a different headspace? So is it hard to switch to the... You have to shift to a different gear when you're on stage. I don't know. Maybe that's... I can imagine that that's not easy.
Yeah, I think that's hard, switching gears. Yeah.
Is this like the first time you feel like this about improv?
You know, I think it didn't even occur to me for a long time that this is actually, you know...
That it's a possibility.
Exactly. I could just take a break from it because also it's got a lot to do with identity. I identify as an improviser. So if I'm not improvising anymore, who am I? And I think that there's a danger in that as well, because it puts a lot of pressure on the thing that you do and the thing that you love. So I guess it's good to maybe also just to have different things going on and to not only be defined by one thing. You've got a lot going on. I just saw that you started a new project, like an arts and crafts project, right?
Yeah. Yeah, a friend of mine and me, we started like a crochet business.
It looks very professional. I checked out the website.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. What I like about it is, or one of the things that I like about it especially, is that you do something with your hands, and when it's done, it's still there. You know, you can see the product of what you have just made, and that has some sort of satisfaction and validation to it somehow, because I feel, especially with improv, but also with scripted theater, I don't think I ever feel like at the end of the day, I can, you know, like check work for the day is done. It never ends somehow. Yeah. And I think what you said about putting a lot of pressure on yourself and on the thing that you do, if you have like one main thing, I can absolutely understand that because I do many different things from like what my background is. I sometimes feel like I wish there was only one thing I was doing. Because my focus is so split, you know, and you focus on three different projects, let's say, in one day. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, could I, would I be doing, you know, would I be further or more advanced in this one project if I was able to put all my energy and headspace and brain power into this one thing.
Yeah, I can relate to that. A friend of mine told me it's you have that tree with all those different branches and mm-hmm. you're watering the tree and you're trying to get all the branches to have, you know, to have, how do you say, blossoms? Is that the word?
Blossoms, yeah, I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you water it, and but it's hard. You know, tending to the tree as a whole, it would be much easier if you just cut off some of the branches and make it grow in a more healthy way and yeah. just tend to the branches that really make it up yeah. into the sky.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure if this is related to this, but I have this, I'm a really bad gardener. which is ironic because I have a whole show about trees.
I know, I know.
yeah. And so, but I think I am a bad gardener because I always feel so bad when it comes to cutting things away. Because I'm like with, I don't know what the word is for Unkraut, you know, like the stuff that grows in your garden that you don't really want. You're like, mm-hmm. oh, this just takes up the space for the real plants.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you just rip it off and, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have such a hard time doing that because why is this not allowed to grow, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. Why do you even call it Unkraut, like unflower yeah. in a way? It's like yeah. so mean. Who decided that was the bad stuff?
Yeah, I know. That's a sort of a pickle I'm in when it comes to gardening and planting. But this is also the potential to grow and be beautiful, you know. Who am I in my own garden? Who am I to decide you can live and you cannot live, you know?
Yeah.
It gets very existential. But I do have a hard time with that stuff. So I think maybe that comes back to what you just said about this metaphor about the tree. Maybe that's why I have as much as I sometimes wish I could only focus on one project, it would also be hard for me probably because you feel like, but that other thing, I also want to nurture the other thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, like it contradicts itself.
Mm-hmm. So you have this program about the trees, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about it.
So it's my stage partner and me. We have a program called Baumgärtner. Because we're both called Baumgartner is our surname. We're not related or anything. It's a rather common name in Austria. So we're called Baumgartner, and the first show is called Von der Wurzel bis zur Krönung. And it is about the parallels between a human's and the tree's life. So it's about how we all need to grow, how we all go through different cycles in our lifetime. It has music, we write the music, we sing songs, and it has poems as well. Yeah, and it's all in Upper Austria, which is our both dialect where we come from. And yeah, it's very dear to my heart. I love it very much. It's a lot of fun to do.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds nice comparing a human's life to a tree's life. I guess there are a lot of parallels, what it means to grow up and become something. What does it mean to grow up, Ursula?
You know how people sometimes say, oh, I wish I was 21 again. I'm like, no, I really wish I was 21 again.
Me neither.
Oh, I feel like I think growing up for me basically means learning things about yourself and why. I mean, that's a big focus for me, at least, also to learn why I function the way I function and to understand that to that extent, that I can make my own choices and how I react to things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And yeah. I'm like, if something happens to me, I'm like, oh, this pushes a button and I always react this way. And now, so I'm trying to become aware of me having those buttons, first of all, and then why do I have those buttons? And if there's something occurs that would lead to this one reaction that I always have, being able to take a step back and be like, you know what? I will disconnect this button. No, thank you. Don't need you anymore. And I will try what happens if I react in a different way. So that's very much what growing up is about for me, to take my power back, maybe. This is really big words, but you know.
No, I get it. I mean. Yeah. I understand. It's hard though, because we're wired in a certain way. And sometimes I get frustrated with not getting out of my own way and not mm-hmm. being able to disable a particular button that I know definitely. Is not very helpful.
Yeah, definitely. It is hard. I don't know if you know that too. I feel like if there's one special thing that I'm focused on, for example, or something that's on my mind, like one thing about me that is on my mind, then life throws, like at every opportunity, life throws stuff at me. Sometimes I feel even as if to give me an opportunity to train that new behavior.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like, oh, of course this is happening now because this is like a test for me. Ah, okay, I can try doing it again. And I try, which is also hard, I try not to be too hard on me if I manage not to do it, you know? And yeah. Maybe that's very improv to be like, yay, failure again, because I know the next opportunity is going to come around to try again. So I think that is what growing up means to me a lot. Yeah, learning about myself, learning about my beliefs, and are they really my beliefs or are they the beliefs I have because of how I grew up, about the society I grew up in and stuff like that. I don't know if there's an end to this, to be honest. I don't know if I'll ever be like, I am 100% made by me. Mm-hmm. I don't think that is ever going
to
happen.
Yeah, and different things are important to you at different times. So there's mm-hmm. always going to be a new challenge, I guess. But I guess you do get the tools, right? To maybe handle new situations. At least that's what I'm hoping. that's my big hope.
I definitely think you do, yeah. And also, it's just good to get help. I've been in therapy for a long time and I love it because it's just that somebody who can give me tools, you know, and make me see things that I might rather not see if I don't have to, you know. And for me, that's really, really valuable. And I always, like, I tell everybody, go to therapy. It's so cool.
I do the same thing. I actually just finished after 2 years. And I thought it was so helpful in so many ways. So I always, you know, I tell people, you know, there's really no harm in it. Luckily, we live in a place, I guess it's the same in Austria as it is in Germany, where you can get the help that you need. That's a big, big privilege. And especially when life throws crises at you.
Crisis,
yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very good to you know, to just seek some outside help. It can never hurt. It can hurt. But then you know that you've done the right thing, I guess.
Yeah. And I absolutely get that people are scared of it. I was so scared of it because I don't know if you can relate, but I had this like, oh my god, what if they, you know, what if they find like this big dark secret inside of me and that will destroy who I am now and everything will be terrible. You know, I absolutely understand if people are afraid of it, but that's something an acting teacher of mine always said, and I think that's something that is also very true for improv. If you're scared of it, go do it.
Like you'd be scared to take on new projects. Actually, I was wondering, what's next for Ursula? Like, you just started the crochet business, but I was just wondering, is there something else that you're really passionate about that you'd like to give a try?
Yeah.
I know that you're looking into your eyes. I can see that you're thinking of a very particular thing, maybe.
Yeah, I am. I wanna learn sign language.
Cool.
I do not know why. It just, unfortunately, I don't have any connections to the hard of hearing or deaf community. I'm utterly fascinated whenever I walk on the street and I see people talking to, like signing to each other. I think it's so cool because I'm a very physical person, I think. And also on stage, I love doing physical stuff, you know. And it's like a dance. It looks like a dance to me. I think it's really, really interesting. And I would love like in the long term, I would love to combine improvising and signing. And I have no idea if that is even possible. I have no idea if I'm being really naive about it, because just because I could, I don't know for how long I would have to study sign language before being able to improvise in it, you know, just because if I go to Italy, I might be able to order a coffee in Italian. I could never go on stage and improvise in Italian. Unless the scene is set in a coffee house, of course. but that's like a thing that's been rolling around in my head for some time. And then also I have a duo project with Anne Raab, who you also know.
And yes, she's great. Yeah,
yeah, she's really great. Yeah, and we are called Bemme and Melange. And we just applied for some funding for a show that we do. We'll see if something comes around.
So that's an improv duo, right?
That's an improv duo, yeah.
What's the special connection between the two of you?
I think it is that we both love doing the physical stuff on stage. We both love the silence on stage as well. Like, we love doing scenes where there's not necessarily anything spoken and everything is told with your bodies. Yeah, that's something we enjoy a lot. And we do have this show right now, which is called, I mean, I say we do have a show. We premiered it once between lockdown 1 and 2, and that was it. Then we could never do it again, obviously. But we do have this show, and we're going to work on it some more. And it's about dreams and sleep and how some people dream and how some people don't. And if you're a person, I mean, everybody dreams, but some people don't remember it, you know. And if you're a person who doesn't remember it in the morning, we are here to give you your dreams.
Lovely. And that sounds nice.
Lot of fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And looking forward to working on that more and hopefully going back on the stage with it as well.
Yeah, it's great having a partner that you're so in sync with and you just function on the same level, I guess.
Definitely, yeah. Can I ask you something? Because we talked about this sign language and...
Sure.
And improvising in a second language, basically. How do you feel about improvising in English?
I like doing it. Sometimes I feel like it's even easier. First off, I don't care if I make mistakes that much because I know that people will understand me, so that's fine. And sometimes I find it easier and to improvise in English, and I can't really tell you why. One theory that I have is speaking in English is not as close to home, and so maybe it's easier to throw myself into it because it's not me in a way.
Yeah, I understand.
Improvising in Spanish was hard.
Oh wow!
Yeah, but so much fun. And I guess it always depends on the person you perform with. If they're making you feel like you can't make any mistakes, then I guess improvising in any language can be super fun.
Do you feel like your English is better than your Spanish?
Oh yes, definitely. My Spanish is almost non-existent. I can get by, but it's not very advanced.
So brave of you, though, to then do an improv show in Spanish. That's amazing.
It was fun. It was just an experiment. And sometimes it's nice to do things where you know you're not that good at, because it just takes away so much pressure. So also I think, because you said before, it might be a bit naive for you to, you know, wanna do something in sign language. That's great. I think being naive and trying out something is the best. Being curious and trying things out, you know? So go for it.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll do a training this coming semester and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Because I think it would be super cool to have like an inclusive evening at the theater for hearing and hard of hearing people. That just excites me so much at the moment. I don't know why. I just think that would be so cool to have different people come together and enjoy an evening together. And it doesn't matter if we're from different communities, you know. Something about that excites me, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's always nice to bring in different kinds of people. And it's difficult because how to reach everyone, right?
Definitely. I mean, I feel very ignorant because I don't know. Now, if we talk about this hard of hearing or deaf community, I don't know anybody out of this community. I feel like that's like a parallel world that I live in to them, you know, because they have their own community. Obviously, I'm in my community, and I don't know. I somehow think that's that's crazy because we all live in the same city. We all live in the same place. And I know nothing about their lives. And I'm like, how do you get around? And they probably think about me, how do you get around?
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. So a new project, sign language. You do so many different things, Ursula. How do you even is what I'm wondering. Because you have all those projects where you write yourself, right? Like Baumgärtner. And then you're also a musical performer.
Yes.
And you act and you voice act. I heard some of the advertisements that you,
oh,
that you did. Yeah, you have a beautiful voice. They sound really good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you find it, I need to think about how to phrase this. So there seems to be two areas, right? The one, the do-it-yourself area, where you crochet and where you make your own programs and that sort of thing. And then there's the part where you hop on stage and you give yourself into the hands of someone else directing you.
Yeah.
What do you prefer?
I don't think I prefer one thing or the other. I just, whenever I do only one thing, I miss the other one.
Mm-hmm.
I love being responsible for my own projects. I love doing my own stuff on stage. I think that's really, really cool. But then sometimes I feel like, oh, I wish I just was in a theater where all I do is go there and do my job as an actress, you know, and I'm not the person who's also responsible for costumes and makeup and set design and lighting and sound and booking a venue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, it would be so nice to be in this whole machinery of a theater where there's so many departments and everybody does their job and I just do my job, mm-hmm. which is what I do on stage. But it's not, yeah, I do know that feeling, and sometimes I miss that feeling of being part of an ensemble, you know, being part of a cast. That's also really nice if you rehearse together for like, I don't know, six, seven, 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that forms a bond between people, obviously. And sometimes I miss that.
Is there a project that you especially miss, something that was very close to your heart?
I did Hair, the musical, for a long time. 6 years, not like consistently, but in different theaters and stuff. And I miss that a lot. I have, yeah, some of my best friends are made in that show. And it's just, I love that show. I think it's so good and so relevant still. And it's not just that, oh, we're all hippies and we're high. And it's, you know, we dance around in big dresses and then we all get naked and smoke hash. Yeah, that's a part of it. But I think it has a way bigger meaning than that, and it's very, I don't know, it touches me a lot, and I think the writing of the lyrics is so good and so clever. Yeah.
So what is the meaning of it for you?
It's about peace, mainly, or it's about what a big pile of nonsense is going to war. It doesn't make any sense. It also calls out on so many different things. It's about how, hey, just because I look different than you do doesn't mean that I'm not wertvoll, precious, maybe. I'm not a precious part of society.
Worthy. You're just worthy.
A worthy part of, worthy part of society. And just because I have made different life choices doesn't mean that I'm less worthy than you. It tells so many different stories. It tells these love stories, and then it speaks a lot about racism as well. I think it talks about a lot of things that still are wrong in our world now, and that although it's quite old by now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I definitely love this show. I mean, there were many things. My first job after school obviously was so impressive. My first musical, because I started musical theater, and so the first job it was in Germany, actually, in Stuttgart. I lived in Germany for 6 years.
Mm. Was it Mamma Mia? Was that the one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there was Mamma Mia. You did stalk me, Lena.
I did stalk you, but also I lived in Stuttgart, so...
Oh, yeah.
So,
I remember we talked about this, yeah.
People know that Mamma Mia existed there, and I actually went to see it with my mother and my sister, and my mother loved it. I think she watched it in London, and then again in Frankfurt, and then again in Stuttgart. She was really... Maybe we saw you there. Who knows?
When was it? When did you go?
That was...
Do you remember?
Oh, well, that was, I believe, 15 years ago, when I was 15.
Could be. I started 2006, so...
Oh, maybe we just missed each other.
And 7. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, that was an amazing first job to have coming out of school. I learned also to not I think that's what you said before about how you identify so much with your job.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's over, you're like, what's left now? And that's how I remember, like, after the dernière, after the show closed, the next day I was sitting on the airport all alone with my suitcase, and I just cried and cried and cried because I couldn't deal. I was like, huh, what's happening? Everybody's got, you know, I did it, I think, for 14 months or something, and you see these people every day. And then suddenly it was gone from one day to the next. People went back to the UK and the Netherlands and Sweden and wherever they came from. And then I was in Stuttgart on that airport going back to Vienna, not knowing what job comes next. And that was the first time for me to experience that. You know, now I guess we're used to it, that we don't know what really is the next thing. It broke my heart. I was like, no, what? I didn't know how to process at all. But that was a good learning for me too. Obviously, I immerse in the jobs that I do because I really love to do that. And if I do something, I really want to do it 100%. But from that on, I try to also really value the stuff that I have in my life besides that job.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was so painful that the job was everything to me, and that got taken away or that just ended, basically. That was a big learning for me there.
At what age did singing and music find you?
Well, I think I always liked singing. My first encounter with musical theatre, I saw a thing called Das Mausical,
which was a
musical about mice. And I saw that, I think, when I was like, I don't know, how old was I? 5 maybe or 6. And I just loved it. It was so sweet and I loved it. And I was fascinated with it ever since. And then I joined something which is called, or was called back then, Kinder Musical Company, KMC, where I grew up in Linz. And I think I joined them when I was 11 or 12 and stayed there until I was 18. And I absolutely love that. You know, in the beginning, it's just like kids. And they're cute because it's kids being on a stage and they're singing songs. And then the older you get, the more professional you got. Yeah, I learned a lot. And then, so my sister, I have an older sister, an elder sister. She's 9 years older than I am. And she played the piano, and everything my elder sister did was super cool, obviously. So I wanted to play the piano too. Yeah, music was always around.
You know, I have a sister that is 9 years older than me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do. But I have two in between. I have another sister and a brother.
Yeah. Aha, okay. Wow. Yeah, because I was just going to say, do you also feel like you grew up on your own, although you have an older sister, but then you have two others, so...
Yeah,
because that's how I feel, because the age difference is so big, you know.
Yeah.
Like when I was 9, she left to go study in a different city. So,
Well, it did. I'm still a Nachzügler. I don't know what that is in English. Like I'm a latecomer, I guess.
An after trainer. I have no idea. It's so bad. I'm sorry.
That was a dad joke. An after trainer. Yeah. For all the English listeners out there, that is the literal translation of Nachzügler. So I was an after trainer for sure.
Mm-hmm.
5 years between me and my next sister. And with my oldest sister, it was a sort of hybrid situation, I'd say, because She definitely felt like a sister to me, but also like maybe, like not exactly like a mother, but she did take a lot of care of me when I was a kid, and it was the best. I mean, I loved having a lot of siblings, and we got along really well. Not always, cool. Obviously, but we did get along. But my oldest sister and I. It was special because, like, I remember I had a hard time at school in fifth grade, and she decided that she wanted to get me a cat to make me happy, and she wanted to buy it even though my parents had said no, and she made plans on how to do it. It never worked out because my parents really would have been super upset if I had gotten a cat. But I remember that she really wanted to make that dream come true for me. So that was very special.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah.
But did you grow up with a pet in the end or never?
Oh my God, that's a whole other story.
Oh, is that a loaded question?
No, not really. We had bunny rabbits that we committed to and we loved our Mickey, Shiki, and Donald. That's what they were called.
I love it.
Yeah. Did you have pets growing up? Are you a dog cat person?
Definitely a cat person. Oh. I don't understand why anybody has a dog. I don't understand.
Really?
that's very harsh. I'm like, I do. I mean, I don't. It's not like I hate dogs. I mean, I grew up with a cat. So I think we got our cat when I was 9, maybe, or something. I think she was a teeny tiny baby cat rescued from a farm, a farmer's house, you know, where just their cat had like, I don't know, 5 or 6 kittens. And they were like, we're going to drown them tomorrow unless you're going to pick them up today.
That's horrible.
That is horrible.
Yeah.
So my elder sister saved him. So I grew up with him. And also my first pet, which was actually my sister's pet, was a turtle.
A turtle?
And his name was Casimir.
Is it still alive? Is he still alive?
Well, that's some childhood trauma we're going to get into now. So we had Casimir the turtle, and sometimes we took him outside into the yard, into the garden. And so that we don't lose him, we put like with red tape, we put like a big K onto its shell.
Awesome.
Because it's, you know, it's like it has the perfect camouflage. It's like brown and yellow, and you know, I mean, because that's what it's meant to look like.
Yeah.
So we put like a big red K onto it, and then as the grass started growing higher, we put a balloon around him because the grass was so high that we couldn't see him. So we put a balloon around him, and then we moved to a different house, and Casimir came with us. And we took him out like into the garden like every day, I think, if I remember. I mean, so I'm like 5 in this story, or 4 even, 4 or 5. And we took him out into the garden, and then suddenly my mom was like, we have to go, because I don't know, she had some sort of an appointment. And I was like, but Casimir's in the garden. But she's like, but I'm late, we need to go. So he ran away.
He ran away? I'm not quite sure if I believe that.
Well, we couldn't find him in time because he didn't have a balloon on.
Oh.
Like, we couldn't find him and we had to leave. And when we came back, obviously he was gone. And he never found his way back home. Mm. Or maybe he just found a cooler place to live at. I don't know. But it was very sad. I was shocked. Casimir was gone.
He probably walked himself to the farm where all the turtles go. When they're old, and
I don't think it was his time to die yet, if that's what you were inclining. I think he just walked over to the neighbors
and made new friends.
So I don't know if he's still alive. Also, I don't know how old turtles
get. I thought that they get really old. I thought maybe that's one of those myths that you're being told when you're a kid. But I thought that turtles can get really old, like 100 years.
Yeah. So maybe he's still alive. So Casimir, if you hear this, I miss you. I love you. I'm very sorry we left you in the garden. I hope you're having a fabulous life.
Maybe he'll come back one day. Keeping my fingers crossed for Casimir's return. So we had a dog for 4 weeks only.
How come?
Because my mother really isn't a dog person at all. And she wanted to do this as a favor to my siblings. I was, I think, 2 or 3 years old, so really small. And my siblings actually, they were really upset when I was born. My sister said, well, now you can forget about the dog. And so 3 years later.
Oh, no.
So 3 years later, they got the dog, but my mother couldn't cope. It was just too much.
That is a lot. I mean, what, 4 kids and a dog? Yeah.
And her husband, my dad, would travel for work. So he was only there for the weekends.
Wow.
Yeah.
So basically being a single mom during the week, so to say, and taking care of a dog. That is a lot. Wow.
Yeah. And you need to really want it. You need to really enjoy being with animals. If you're not an animal person, it's hard.
I feel bad now that I said that I don't like dogs, but it's true. I'm sorry.
No, you have your right to not like dogs. It's fine.
Are you more a dog person than a cat person? Or do you like, I like them all.
I like them all. I'm allergic to cats now, so that's very sad.
Mm-hmm. That is sad.
That now? Is very sad.
Now you say? That just
I didn't have anything when I was a kid, but I spent 6 months in Canada when I was 21, and I was living in a house with a cat. And in the beginning, he would sleep in my bed, cuddle up at night. And I thought, why do I have a constant cold? Because I didn't even connect the two in the beginning. And then
yeah, sure.
And then someone said, maybe you want to try not letting him sleep in your bed. And I did. And it was, the cold was gone. So I never went and did a test. I just figured, okay, I'm allergic to cats yeah. now. And it's getting worse over time. So now I can, my sister has a cat. And when I'm in her house, I have to pop antihistamines.
Yeah.
I always figured you're only allergic if you don't like the animal. But guess what? Not true.
Yeah. So do you think people who are allergic to peanuts just really don't like peanuts?
Yeah. And people who are lactose intolerant, they just hate milk.
That's me. Oh. I'm the person. Yeah.
But do you actually hate milk and you're lactose intolerant?
I used to love it when I was a kid. Like a cacao, as we call it, you know, like a hot chocolate. It would be, that was the best thing ever. But then I only found out when I was like 21 or 22 that I'm actually intolerant to it. And I did all these tests and stuff. And then I had like my first hot chocolate with lactose-free milk. And I drank the whole cup and I was like, I feel very weird. Like, why do I feel this so weird? And then it took me 20 minutes to understand, oh, because I'm not, you know, my stomach's not hurting. And I was so used to that. That was just normal for me to feel like that. And then I was like, I feel so strange. And oh, it was the absence of that pain.
How lucky we can find out about these things, right?
Oh, yeah. You know how often I think, how do we know what we can eat and what not? Like, what is toxic and what not? Like, how many people died just eating plants or whatever? I'm like, well, Jeffrey dropped that. I think we shouldn't eat that anymore.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there was so much trial and error involved in, you know, getting us to where we are right now.
Yeah. So thank you, all Jeffreys and Susans and whatever they were called.
For trying the poisonous berries. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. I have a little game for you for the end.
Yes.
If you're up to it, because I played it before and I find it's a good tool to get to know the person on the other side a bit better. So here's how it goes. I'll give you random words and you just give me the first association you have with it. It can be another word. It could be a sentence. It could be a small anecdote, whatever comes to mind.
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Great. Seafood.
No, thank you.
Spring.
Yes, please soon.
Board games.
A lot of fun.
The Queen of England.
I binge watched The Crown. I loved it. It's
Did
the
you?
Best. Oh my God, I loved it so much.
I tried watching it and I couldn't stick with it.
Really? Oh, I think just the set is so amazing and the costumes are so amazing. And yeah, yes. Mm-hmm.
I love Olivia Colman. I think
she's so good. Yeah, she's really great. And also, how old is the Queen of England? She's been around for, like, basically, she's been a queen for all of my life, for sure.
Yeah.
What a life.
I think she's something like 94, I want to say.
Oh, really?
She's really old. I think Philip, her husband, I think he's almost 100.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think, yeah. What a crazy life to live, huh?
It was very funny because the queen, when it came to vaccinations, she apparently said she doesn't want to jump the line. She wants to, you know, let the others get the vaccination first, but it's like, you're the first in line, Elizabeth. You can just get your shot. No problem.
Yeah. Take up your space. It's okay.
All right. Next word, Ursula, is dentist.
Do I have to go?
Next one is caramel latte.
No, doesn't do anything for me. No.
Not a caramel person?
Mm-mm. Not the sweet person. I don't do sweets.
Oh, really?
No. I'm not a big chocolate fan, and I don't have sweet cravings. I have hearty cravings more than sweet cravings.
Like you want a pretzel or something like
that.
Yeah,
or if I do eat some chocolate. Yeah. If I do eat chocolate or something sweet, I have to eat something savory after because I'm like, oh, too sweet most of the time. Except with ice cream. Ice cream is different somehow. I don't know why.
You know, I once won a competition in like an ice cream eating competition with my sister's ex-boyfriend, 11 scoops to 8 scoops.
What?
Yep.
Was it all the same flavor or was it different flavors?
Chocolate and vanilla. I don't go crazy, but I will go crazy in amount. I'll say that.
Wow, I'm very impressed.
Thank you very much. I'm glad I got to, I got to share that on this podcast because it is one of my big achievements.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, next one is motorcycle.
Ooh, fun. My dad always had motorcycles when I was a kid.
And he would take you when you were little?
Yeah. Not that my mother was very impressed by that. I mean, we were always safe, obviously. But I like it. So, yeah. But I'm torn because where we live on a big... There's like this big street here, which is a long straight line. So people come here to race at night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That sounds scary.
It's so stupid. It's like, you know, with the fast cars and motorcycles. I mean, not now, but in summer they do that. And so I have like a bit of a love-hate relationship with motorcycles. Because if it's like, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning and one is like outside your bedroom window, I'm like, shut the fuck up. So, yeah.
All right. Last one is Lady Gaga.
Not impressed. I have to say, I know so little about her. I never got into her. I don't know. I did not see... What's the film?
A Star is Born.
Yeah, I didn't see that. Oh, okay, I have to say this. I think she's very impressive as an artist and how she came up with this whole persona. I think that's very impressive. And how she persevered, like from the little things that I know, she had a lot of going against her.
I was really impressed with her in that movie because she is a really good actress.
Oh, yeah?
And I didn't... Like, I watched that movie thinking... This is going to be something easy to watch for like a lazy Sunday. And I ended up crying like a baby. Mm. It messed me up for the entire day. And it was like, no, it's so sad. And I was really impressed with her acting. I think I'm always impressed with, maybe I'm, you know, this is a little bit of weakness of mine, but I'm so impressed with people who have all those talents combined. It's like, how? I guess it's just, you know, from a very early age, you just drop everything and get into that.
It's also a matter of privilege, you know, if you have the opportunities to take these. Like me, for example, I feel I'm aware that that's very privileged, that I could go to this Kinder musical thing when I was 11, you know. And I mean, because obviously my parents had to pay money for that and stuff, and that I could go study musical theater, that was also quite expensive. So, yeah. Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, I might give the movie a try then.
Yeah, you should. Maybe you'll end up hating it, because if someone recommends something and they're very impressed by it, you always have these really high expectations, what I find.
Okay, so I look at it and think it's going to be terrible.
Very good. That's the spirit.
All right.
Thank you so much, Ursula, for talking to me. Thank you for your advice with my problem. For listening and asking questions. I feel heard.
That's good. Thank you so much for inviting me on this. I also feel very heard. It was lovely talking to you. Thank you.
Yeah, you as well. Have a great day, and I hope I'll get to talk to you in person soon again.
Yeah, me too. It will happen. This year, I can feel it.
This was my conversation with Ursula Anna Baumgartner. I hope you guys enjoyed it. In 2 weeks, I will be talking to Jason Geary from Melbourne, Australia. Jason and I, we haven't talked to each other in a while, so I think we'll have lots of things to discuss. Also, there's one more thing. This podcast is produced by the Association of the Würzburger Impro-Theater Festival. Many of you might know our main annual event that usually happens at the end of October. But we also organize various other projects throughout the entire year. For instance, this podcast. If you'd like to support our work, you can help us with a donation. You can donate via PayPal. That's paypal.me/improvfestival or directly to our bank account. For more info, visit the link in the description. Thank you so much and have a great day wherever you are on this planet.